Have you got your Bibles? Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. We'll read verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. What a great word. Hope in God, the help of my countenance, our Heavenly Father. The title of the sermon today is Spiritual Snake Bites and the Anti-Venom. Anybody ever been bitten by a snake? How about a rattlesnake or a venomous snake? Anyone? They have an anti-venom. You go to the doctor, they go to the hospital, they immediately put something in you to try to offset the poison that's in your body. It's the anti-venom. We're going to look at this in a spiritual context today, okay? Our life in Jesus is really an ongoing, everyday series of spiritual battles and warfare. Satan hates it. He hates it when we have the joy of the Lord. He hates it when we have the peace and the joy and the victory that comes when we realize that we are God's children, that we're born again. He has one objective, and that is to constantly harass and annoy believers, to try to get us off the path of victory, to try to get us into another path of destruction, to let us somehow begin to think in our minds and our hearts that our faith is useless, and to lead us to depression and to discouragement. It's natural in this life to experience discouragement at times. We all do. Things go wrong. Trouble comes our way and somebody lets you down and it's a hard thing. But unfortunately, this emotion, this moments of discouragement, that it can be a breeding ground for bitterness and resentment. Especially if folks start blaming God. That happens sometimes. People begin to blame God for what happened. And if that happens, then our devotion to Him begins to suffer. And then when our devotion suffers, then what follows is that we begin to forsake spending time alone with the Lord in prayer. And we begin to give up on the dreams and the hopes that God had put into our hearts. And eventually, if we're not careful, somebody could just give up on God altogether. Satan's spiritual snake venom is discouragement. His spiritual snake venom is to get us discouraged. It's the poison of our life from his perspective. To put that poison in us. To attempt to bring us down. So we're going to address that today. His venom of discouragement comes in, and what begins to happen is sometimes very subtle. It's not like a sudden bite and you feel it and you go, oh my. Sometimes it's very slow and very subtle and very gradual. We begin to wonder why some of our prayers haven't been answered. We cry out for help. We feel desperate. But we begin to think, God doesn't hear me. He's not hearing my prayers at all. But we continue. We cry. We pray. We read the Bible. But often we find ourselves just feeling empty and with a very unfulfilled spiritual sensation. We feel dry in our spirits. But we continue and we claim the promises of God. We know they're for us. We believe them with honest, childlike faith. At least we try to. But before you know it, doubt begins to just to continue to creep in. And Satan begins to whisper to us. And he says, you know, nothing works. Nothing's going to work. In spite of our prayers, our faith, and our trust, it just seems like nothing changes. We get that dry feeling in our spirit. And Satan whispers to us again and he says, you just need to quit. You just need to give up. King David in the Bible, he was going through such a time in his life. He felt all alone. He felt overwhelmed. And the Bible records his prayer in Psalm 44, 23 and 24. Listen to the words of David. Awake! Why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our body clings to the ground. Arise for our help. Redeem us for your mercy's sake. It's a cry of a heart. Say, God, where are you? Help me. And another example, according to the Word of God, Job was an incredible man in God's sight, wasn't he? Incredible. Yet he too came to the point of wanting to give up. Job was convinced that God knew where he was. He was convinced that God knew what he was going through, but yet he couldn't feel God's presence. And it's written in Job 23, 8 and 9. Listen to these words, this cry of Job. Look, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. What Job was saying to himself, God, I can't sense your presence. Are you here? He's saying to himself, I know God is there someplace. I know He's somewhere looking down on my problems and my concerns. But in spite of all that, God, I can't find you. Have you ever been there?
Yes.
Have you ever had those moments? You might not have been telling others about it, but it was deep in your heart. Unless you and I respond to Satan's attacks wisely, unless we respond with spiritual understanding of the Word of God, if we're not careful, we can become overwhelmed by a spirit of hopelessness and cynicism and even depression. As believers, in order to overcome this spiritual snake bite, so to speak, we have to know where to find and how to apply the anti-venom. We've got to get a hold of that anti-venom. Because it's through the anti-venom, spiritually speaking, that we can defeat those moments and even those seasons of discouragement and depression. So I'm going to share with you five ingredients of the elixir, if you would, or the anti-venom that we should take to defeat the enemy when he comes along with those snake bites. The first ingredient is this. The promises of God are there. We must claim the promises of God. Amen. In 2 Peter 1 and 4, the Bible says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. We're partakers of the divine nature by the promises that God gives you and me. And we hold on to those. We believe them. We take them to our heart. Jesus promised us eternal life. He promised us forgiveness of our sins. He promised that He would never leave us or forsake us. We take hold of them. And when we do that, the Bible says it becomes part of our nature, who we are. See, discouragement and those dry spells we're talking about, if we're not careful, you've seen folks, maybe we've done this ourselves, we're not careful, we'll wallow in the trough of despondency. We'll fall into this ideal of self-pity, woe is me. Instead of that, what we should be doing is claiming and reading and believing the promises of God from His Word. His promises, when we look at them and read them and say them and believe them, they stir the heart. They give rise to faith. They give confidence. They lift our spirits up from the discouragement that we're dealing with. The Bible is full of promises. Every promise is there. That old song, every promise in the book is mine. You heard it, you sang it. Promises for our salvation, our spiritual growth. Promises to help us forgive others, to be obedient. Promises to know God's will. Promises when we're going through fear and loneliness and suffering. Promises for our homes and our families and our marriages. Promises for our finances. There's even promises when we're just going through times of stress. There's promises for God's peace and promises in times of sickness. There's promises for every need we have in His Word. It's there. It's written for us. It's the Word of God. He wants to speak it into our minds and our hearts and our spirits. One of the best answers for battling discouragement is to do something for someone else. And I'm still talking about the promises of God. There's a promise in Luke 6 and 38. We only think it applies to financial matters. Let me tell you, it applies to spiritual, emotional, everything in our life matters, okay? Luke 6 and 38. Give, it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. Now you've all heard that given before, and like so many folks, you're thinking, well, that's only talking about money. It's talking about everything. When we're giving of ourselves, our time, our hearts, our emotions, our energy, we're going to get blessed. That's what the Word of God is telling us. There's an example I love to use. I've used it before, but permit me to share this story with you again. The old farmer was driving a Ford 10 Lizzie. The engine was roaring and the radiator was hissing, and he crept along at about 25 miles an hour. He was headed home. Well, on the way home, he saw a beautiful brand new car on the side of the road. It was having some kind of trouble. The hood of the car was up and it had a chauffeur, and the chauffeur was out there looking down under the hood of the car, so the farmer stopped. You know, his brakes are squeaking, and he comes to a halt and he says, "What's wrong?" And the man sitting in the back seat of the fancy car, the man in the back seat said, "Well, I just don't know. The engine has stopped and my chauffeur's taking a look at it." Well, the farmer waited for a minute and he says, "Well, if you need some help, I can tow your car about 7 miles down the road to the nearest garage." And the guy sitting in the back seat looking at that old 10 Lizzie, he said, "You're going to tow my car with that?" And the old farmer says, "Absolutely. Well, I can do it." And he said, "Just watch." So he got a rope out. He tied it up to the bumper of that brand new car, tied it to the back of his 10 Lizzie. Before you know it, he's hauling that fancy new car down the road with his 10 Lizzie. 7 miles. He tows it to the garage. When he gets to the garage, the guy in the back of the car, the owner, says, "What do I owe you, sir?" And the old farmer quickly answered. He said, "Nothing. It's a sorry day if we can't help each other out without being paid for it. No, sir, you give me nothing. Glad to help you. Have a good day." And off he went in his little 10 Lizzie, puttering on his way home. Well, the owner of that gleaming new car sat there and hearing the words of that farmer, it just kept going over and over in his mind. "It's a sorry day if we can't help each other out without being paid for it." Well, over time, the farmer's old 10 Lizzie, it finally bit the dust and it was given a resting place in the town junkyard. But the next day, when the farmer got up and looked out his window, there in his driveway was a brand new Ford. He walked up to inspect that car and look it over. He couldn't believe it. And there was a little note tied to the steering wheel. And he opened the door and he looked at that note, and the note said, "It's a sorry day if we can't help each other out without being paid for it."
Wow.
The owner of that fine new car that the farmer had towed 7 miles to the garage was none other than the great manufacturer, Henry Ford.
Wow.
He no doubt had been fascinated that one of his very early models was working so well that day that he could tow that brand new one all the way to the garage. And he made a deal with the garage owner to let him know when that farmer's old 10 Lizzie finally had bitten the dust, so that he could provide him with a brand new Ford. The power of kindness and giving of ourselves is immeasurable. And the fact remains that everything we do for somebody else, as we give of ourselves, we're relying on the promise of God, and sooner or later, it brings back dividends to us, and it blesses us. When we do good to all men, I'm going to tell you, we're going to be rewarded. We're going to be rewarded someday in heaven, but there's going to be an immediate reward in this life, because nothing lifts up a melancholy, depressed, despondent spirit. Nothing can do it like doing something for somebody else and being a blessing to them. Oh, what a great thing it is to get rid of that discouragement. So this first step, this first part of the anti-venom serum, is to go out and claim the promises of God. Number two, how about let's reclaim the presence of God? James 4 and 8, you know this word, you've read it many times. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Well, there's a promise, isn't it? If you just start saying, God, I want to draw near to You. I want to draw close to You. I need to feel Your presence. I need to feel Your love and Your concern. I need to know You're with me. And you begin to pray that prayer. You look at the Word of God and it says, He will draw near to you. Oh, what a promise that is. When discouragement strikes, sometimes we neglect to pray. We get discouraged and we don't feel this excitement about praying, and we neglect to pray, and we neglect our fellowship, getting alone with God, and we start drifting away from Him. I'm going to tell you, think of it this way. Who of us could ever deny our own children when they need something from us? How much more is our Heavenly Father wanting to do something for us? We call upon Him. Romans 8 and 16, the Word says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Yes. We're His children. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now, as we look at this drawing near and reclaiming the presence of God, there's two aspects of that I want to share with you. Number one, I think one of the important things we do in drawing near to God is just to pause for a minute and look back. Just light the lamps of the past for a moment. And look back at all the things that God has done for you. Look back at the day that you gave your heart to Jesus and you became born again. Look back at those times that you prayed for specific needs and God came through and He met the needs and He saw you through it. Look back at those times when He answered prayer after prayer for somebody else you were praying for and God was there and He met their need. In James 1 and 17, the Bible declares, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Oh, praise God, He is still there. He's still the same. He wants to give us the good gifts. So we look back and just remember all the good things God has done for us. And the second thing we need to do is realize what God is doing right now, today, in our lives. Psalm 66 and verse 5 declares, come and see the works of God. He is awesome in His doing toward the sons of men. Listen to that. He is awesome in His doings toward you and me, is what it just said. God is still alive. Jesus is still our Redeemer and our Savior. He is still interceding for us in heaven. That this venom of discouragement can cause us to lose sight of those eternal promises and the eternal principles that the Word of God gives us. Just know that God is ever ready for us to draw near to Him. And His power, His presence is always ready to work in us and through us when we cry out to Him. So we just begin to praise Him. Begin to praise Him for all the things that's going in your life right now. Begin to praise Him for the things that you just don't even think about, but let the Holy Spirit bring it to your mind and heart. Thank You, Father, for this and for this and for this. I praise You because You are my Father. I praise You. Someday I will see You face to face. You are preparing a home for me. You love me. You sent Your Son to die for me. All of those things we should just rejoice in what God is doing right now in our lives. Philippians 4 and 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The third ingredient in the antivenom is proclaim the power of God. In Isaiah 40 and 29, He gives power to the faint. And to them who have no might, He increases strength. One of the things that happens, discouragement makes us feel weak. Discouragement makes us feel like there's nothing going to work out. There's no hope. There's nothing. And the Word of God says He will give power to those that are faint or who are weak. He increases strength. Aren't you thankful for that promise? We don't have a platform. We don't have cups, so I'm drinking out of a curved jar, but it's good, cool water. I need that. It works good. You think about the power of God. His power created the universe. and everything that's in it. His power created the heavens. His power created you and me. His power resurrected Jesus from the grave. His power never changes in Malachi 3:6, or Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Did you hear that? I am the Lord, I don't change, he's saying. When we begin to declare the power and proclaim the power of God, our faith begins to rise. And faith is the victory, the Bible tells us that. We sing that old song. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And this victory that overcomes the world, our faith, it begins to grow, it begins to come alive when we proclaim His power and understand His power that is in us. I love the scripture in 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Are you an overcomer? Are you born of God today? It says you overcome the world. And this is the victory that's overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? That you're an overcomer and victory is yours. There's also a promise, a power in our lives. And it's a promise that was given to us by Jesus. So I know we can count on it. Amen. It's recorded in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What a great promise that is, amen. The church embraces that promise today. The promise of the Holy Spirit. God, help us to be renewed every day in our spirits by receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The well of water flowing in our spirit, lifting us and encouraging us. The fourth ingredient in God's antivenom is to rejoice about what God will do. What God will do. In Joel 2:21, rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Just say that with me for a minute. Rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Doesn't it feel good just to say it? It just builds you up. We must face tomorrow and all of our future with an attitude of faith. And God's promised that not only will He be with us today, He'll give us strength for all of our tomorrows. And He'll do that. We can overcome discouragement by just remembering all those great promises of what God said He will do. For example, Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Psalm 91:15. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the weak. To those who have no might, He increases strength. We just read that. Verse 31 of Isaiah 40. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and shall not be weary and walk and not faint. Isaiah 41:9. You are my servant. I've chosen you and not cast you away. Fear not. Do not be discouraged, for I am with you. I am your God. I strengthen you. I will help you. Praise God. What a promise that is for us today. Verse 13 of Isaiah 41. For I, the Lord your God, will uphold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. What great promises of what God is going to do in our lives today. So we look at the last ingredient, number 5, and that is to exclaim the praises of God. To praise Him and exclaim His praises. In our scripture text we read earlier, it's in Psalm 42:11. Part of that scripture text tells us, hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. I'll tell you, you heard me say this before. You cannot be discouraged. You cannot be depressed. You cannot be melancholy if you start praising God. It works every time. I don't care what you're feeling or what's going on. If you just start praising Him, if you just start thanking Him for your salvation and all His blessings and all His benefits, and to praise Him out loud and say it out loud, it lifts your spirit. You cannot be depressed when you start praising Him. It's His children. We do not, as the children of God, we do not have to be beaten or harmed or hurt by the bites of Satan, by his venom of discouragement that comes into our lives. We can just begin to understand that we have an antivenom. And that antivenom, we're going to apply it in our lives. It's His promises. It's reclaiming His presence, proclaiming His power, rejoicing about what God will do, and exclaiming His praises. That's a pretty powerful antivenom, isn't it? It's a great antivenom. And if we'll do it, if we'll do those five things, think about the benefits with me for just a minute. Those five things will result in you'll begin to hear His still small voice. You'll begin to feel just that little bit of encouragement that you're so desperate for. Your spirit will begin to have that knowledge that He abides in you and that His Word is in you. Your heart will begin to feel His warmth, and the flow of God's presence will fill your life, and it'll fill the room that you're in, and the tears that are bottled up inside, they'll be released and they'll begin to flow, and that's a good, that's a wonderful thing. The joy of Jesus, His joy will rush through the corridors of your mind and your heart, and you'll have that reality of who Christ is, that He's with you, and His joy is your joy. And the peace of God, oh, the peace of God will begin to rise up inside you. And there will be no doubt that God has chosen to come and commune with you and by His Holy Spirit remind you He loves you, that He's there for you, and He'll never leave you. And He'll confirm one more time how special you individually are to Him as His children. And that dry spell, whatever that dry spell may be, it'll turn into rivers of water welling up within your soul, and it'll be flowing out within you because it's the power of His Holy Spirit. It's the certainty of His promises for you and for me if we'll just apply the steps and the ingredients, so to speak, of the anti-venom. Let me conclude today by asking this question. Are you tired of having to deal with discouragement at times? Are you tired of having to deal with the blues or depression or uncertainty or melancholy? Are you tired of that? Let me tell you, whether or not your situation changes, whether it changes or not, whether your realities in your life change or not, it doesn't matter. You can still experience the joy and the peace and the contentment and the victory of Jesus Christ by His power. By His power. Circumstances, hear me, circumstances do not dictate our spiritual emotions and conditions. Circumstances do not dictate who we are, because we continue to always be the child of God. Our circumstances don't change what's going on in us spiritually. Remember, you've always got somebody on your side. You've got somebody on your side who's always available to help you and to strengthen you. Let me walk back and get the Word of God as we close this morning. In Isaiah, in the 40th chapter, I'm reading verse 27 through 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Praise God for that word today. Hallelujah. Amen. In the midst of trouble, of great despair, you remember the story of Job. He finally got to this point in his life where he said these words, I know my Redeemer lives, and He shall stand at last on the earth. I know in my flesh I shall see God. What a prophetic word by Job. Listen to those words. He's saying that my Redeemer lives. Jesus is alive. He's our Redeemer. He goes on to say, I know that He shall stand on this earth. Someday He is coming back to this earth. He's coming back to the Mount of Olives just outside the Eastern Gate in Jerusalem. And He's bringing you and I with Him, because He would have raptured us up into heaven before the tribulation. And when He comes back to this earth to begin the millennial reign of Christ, to defeat the Antichrist and the false prophet, and to bind Satan for 1,000 years. He will be on this earth. We will see Him. He is our Redeemer. And we will, in our own mind and heart and eyes, we will see God. Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful today for the Word of God? Praise God. Would you bow your heads with me? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the promises that the Word gives us. Thank you that no matter what we face, God, the power of You by Your Holy Spirit is available to help us, to strengthen us, to give us insights and wisdom, to guide us, God, to see us through whatever we're going through. God, let faith arise here in this place today. Let hope arise. God, let there be a sense of joy and a wonderful expectation of the good things You have for us individually and as a church, as a body of believers. And all of these things, we thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.